Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new Patreon show. Sorry for my slightly croaky voice, I have a cold at the moment. This is our brand new show, The Danger Files, or Season 2 of The Danger Files, where we are playing the amazing role-playing game Delta Green, a game about conspiracies and aliens. And we've got Jerry back on the show, which should be really exciting. I hope you enjoy it. We put this first one out on the main feed, so you can give it a go, see how you feel about it. If you enjoy it, if you like it, it's very easy to get the rest of the series. You go to patreon.com/dangerclubpodcast. It's £5 a month, and then every 2 weeks you're going to get a brand new full-length episode of The Danger Files. You're going to be able to see where this goes, and you get all of our other shows as well, and you help us keep the lights on in the studio. I'm really proud of this show. I think this is a really, really fun one. It's one of my favorite games with some of my favorite people, and I think you're going to really, really dig it. Enjoy.
The following recordings detail the activities of a government agency that officially does not exist. Since 1928, they have protected humanity from the forces of darkness, acting with honor, but without glory. Declassified recently, these recordings have become known as the Danger Files.
Adventure, a new Patreon show, some new agents, a returning face, and a whole lot of new ways to go insane. My name is Dan Thompson, and I will be your handler for this mission. Welcome to the Danger Files.
Hey. Whoa!
For a second, though, I wondered if you're going to maybe be able to maintain that intensity there, Dan. That was like a wrestling promo. But that was great.
Do you remember last season how it fell apart as the season went on? I was trying to like cram in an entire recap into the intro, and then it all fell apart. We're back. We're playing Delta Green again. The show about federal agents, about spooks and soldiers and people investigating the paranormal. We are returning to the world of the 90s, 90s America. We like a little bit of a period drama set in middle of nowhere in America on this podcast, don't we? We're returning to the world that saw us last season on Platt Air Force Base, where three people uncovered a strange conspiracy. We have some returning agents. We have international man of mystery, Ross Harmston.
Hello. Where am I?
We have the unfathomable depths of James Lockhart. We have returning from the unknown, Jeremiah O'Connor.
I'm here. It's no longer unknown where I am.
And introducing to this world some brand new agents. First of all, the spooktacular Colin Hubbard.
Hello.
And of course, the seriously, what the fuck, I don't understand it, Drummond Boskill.
Who? Where? What? Where are my French teeth?
The French teeth.
French teeth.
Marseille. Very important, the French teeth.
The classic French teeth. Oh my God.
I think I meant to say false.
False. False.
Anyway,
French.
Whatever.
French teeth.
Hey, who knows?
It's the 90s.
Special veneers, that's what they are.
Oh my
French
gosh.
Teeth.
We're all back. We're back here. We'll give you a little recap of what happened in season one. But first,
yes, please. Jerry,
man, how are you? We haven't seen you in a year and a half on this show. That's how long it has been.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I'm all right. I'm alive.
That's a relief.
South America. I'm now in my 40s. Hey! Yes, I'm mining a cat. It's incredibly exciting.
You're mining a cat?
I'm mining a cat.
Oh, mining a cat.
I'm mining a cat for Bitcoin. Nothing happened yet. Yeah. I'm hoping.
What's the cat's name?
The cat's name is Detective John Dumpling.
I thought the cats were the ones that were mining. So that's what Eddie Izzard says behind your sofa. Isn't it? That's what the purring is. They're mining.
I was late today because I was on a train and someone said, the guy on the train, he went, oh, sorry, we're running a little bit slow. It's because, believe it or not, there's a woman on the tracks who's looking for a cat.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was
I love that they were that specific. Had you stolen the cat, Colin? Because that's unclear.
No.
Like, you love cats.
No. So
I thought I might do something a little different on this show. Since Delta Green is a show about conspiracies and secret agents and things like that, I thought I might start each show off, but with a real life story of espionage and of declassified covert operations that have come to fore. Because there are some, I read a lot of these, and some of them are really fun. Would you like to hear a little covert story?
Sure.
I'll start us off on our first episode with my favorite one of these, and then we'll just go downhill from there. My favorite one, which is called Project X-Ray, aka the Bat Bomb. So this goes back to 1943. America is at war with Japan and is desperately looking for an edge. It's desperately looking for something that is going to bring down the Japanese. And a lot of these projects come out of this time. It comes out of, on both sides of the Atlantic, come out of the Second World War and this race to find the thing that will tip the war. And the governments will just throw money at projects that they think might do it. There was a project lab working in I think it's in the Nevada desert or in the desert in America, and they hit upon a very clever idea. If you want to bomb Japanese cities, they already know that incendiary bombs are incredibly effective against Japan. The incendiary bombing campaigns of Japan are horrific. And they've come up with this idea, but they're very random. How do they come up with an even more effective way of firebombing a Japanese city? Then somebody thinks of bats. What there are in the in America, there are a large number of bats. You can't move for bats in some parts of America. It's very easy. You can just go to a cave. You can scoop a whole bunch of them up. They're an infinite resource. They're very cheap. And what do bats like to do? They like to roost in little nooks and crannies. In the wild, that's a cave. In a city, that will be something like the eaves of buildings. It'll be under bridges. So theoretically, if you could drop a bunch of bats over a city in Japan, and if you could somehow attach an incendiary device to each of these bats, the bats would panic and fly to their natural roosting points, which would be under bridges, in the eaves of these houses, most of which are made of wooden paper. If you had a timer on that, they would then detonate and burn the city to the ground. Genius.
They're gonna detonate bats.
Millions was poured into this project. They developed a special kind of incendiary bomb, which had a timer fitted to it. Some of the science of that went into the creation of napalm eventually. Horrific.
Of course it did, yeah.
And they went out, they gathered a whole bunch of bats. First test. They put all these bats, they put them in a deep freeze, because you can't just have bats flying around in your plane with bombs on them, because that's dangerous. That would be crazy. They put the bats in a deep freeze to put them into a slumber. They attach the bombs to the bats. They put a bunch of them in into like a big cylinder. They fly it up in the air, and then they drop the cylinder from the plane to see what would happen. They have built, out in the desert, a fake Japanese city out of bits of wood and things to test this on. The cylinder falls from the plane. Test one. They have, unfortunately, chilled the bats slightly too much. The bats don't wake up in time. The cylinder slams into the ground and explodes, killing all of the bats. Test one, unsuccessful.
Yeah.
So the cylinder at some point releases the bats?
The idea is that they wake up on the way and fly out of this cylinder. Before it hits the ground, they are...
Terrible idea.
Test number two. And they have had a success. They've dropped bats from it with nothing attached to them, and they wake up in time and have just flown out and go home. So like, okay, this theoretically will work. We just need to make them slightly less cold. Next round, attach the bombs, chill them down, slightly less cold, get the temperature right this time. The plane takes off, flies up over the desert, drops the cylinder from the plane. Everything's going perfectly. Halfway down, the bats wake up. They fly out of the cylinder. They flood out into the sky with their bombs attached. Half of the bats fly directly into the fake Japanese city. They roost under the eaves. They roost under the bridges. They explode. They burn the fake Japanese city to the ground. The other half of the bats fly directly back to the airbase that the plane had taken off from. They roost underneath all of the buildings in that, and they burn the airbase to the ground.
Jeez. Oh, no.
Nonetheless, Project X-Ray was largely considered to be viable as a military tactic.
Oh, my God.
Despite all the money being poured into it, it was ended in it ended in 1945 when basically a meeting went forward. When the evidence was put forward, they were like, you probably don't know about the secret project we've been doing in the desert. And the admiral's like, oh yeah, I already know about the project in the desert. And the guy's like, you know about the bat bombs? And the admiral's like, yeah, the bat bombs. That's the secret bomb project in the desert that I was talking about. The bat bombs, definitely. And yes, the atom bomb is invented just afterwards. And suddenly, the appetite for dropping bats on Japanese cities disappears. That is Project X-Ray.
Amazing.
That's going to be a deleted scene in Oppenheimer.
Well, Gillian Murphy's all Batman, bats, bomb, atom bomb connection. Yeah. This idea that bats are good tourists, and bats will go into a strange place with nowhere to roost. Yeah. I mean, surely they'd never been to Japan before. I assume the bats who turned back and went home were just not traveling bats. They didn't like to travel.
I think the idea is you drop them over the city. You don't just kind of buy them tickets to Japan and a travel guide and hope that they choose to go.
They'd be in mainly hotels and hostels, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, they could. This is the thing. I think what they've really proved is you don't trust bats, man. Like, don't trust bats with bombs. Like,
don't trust bats with bombs.
Who knows? Who knows where they're going to go? Like,
you can never trust. You can never
surely
trust a bat.
Never trust a bat with a bomb.
How big were the bombs though that they could attach to a bat?
Pretty small.
As we know, from Batman the movie, sometimes it's really hard to get rid of a bomb. And so, you know, like, don't give bats bombs, man.
I love that you went with "as we know from Batman," and then the fact was not about bats.
Yeah.
Incredible. Oh my God. Right, let's play some Delta Green. So, of our returning agents, does anyone want to give us a little sum up of what happened in game time 6 months ago on Platt Air Force Base in Nebraska?
Oh my God.
James?
No, it was all pretty chill. We were out there because it was an airfield for decommissioning planes. So we used to land and get taken apart, and that was it. That was the end of their life. So it was a pretty quiet place. There was some guard duty. There was the all-important poker match was coming up all year, the weekly poker game. And then at that poker game, all hell broke loose. And a giant crystal appeared above the Air Force base, crashed in the desert, all the power went out. People started going, loopy-doo. And then what happened, lads? I'll pass it over to you at that point.
That was a pretty good start.
I mean, I could tell you the whole thing if you want.
That was like half of the series.
Loopy-doo, and then we went back to, there was a weird van.
Yeah.
And it had some sort of space, sort of proper 1950s style
crystal thing.
And then the bigger crystal thing was actually a ship, some sort of weird ship with some weird dogs in it and some strange business going on.
I feel like you're missing one of the big points of this thing. did you maybe meet some interesting people on this?
We met an alien.
A guy who's obsessed with Microsoft Flight Simulator.
What?
We met an alien.
We did.
I can't remember what we said to
I can't
alien,
remember. I think my mind's been wiped a la Men in Black. But I can't really remember that bit.
A little grey man who said his dog was hurt and he led you back to, I say he, it led you back to the crashed crystal.
Oh yeah, there was crabs.
That turned out to be a ship. And there was, some kind of crab-like creature, space like a spongy fungal... A spongy fungal crab.
So a little grey man gave me spongy fungal crabs.
It is.
Not for the first time, I might say.
You battled it using some very elaborate weapons.
Caniston.
Paper.
Paper, yeah, we did use paper. Well, we had no guns. Yeah. We spoke about this before.
Yeah.
Because all the guns were locked up in a locker, and I think that was a really good thing, but we had no guns. So we were literally just charging with paper and an axe. I think we found an axe somewhere. Yeah. And Yeah.
Yeah, the only gun was in the hands of one of the soldiers that had gone crazy and was trying to murder everyone. Who Norman killed with a Molotov cocktail. Yeah,
burned him alive. So.
Wow.
Yep.
Big stuff. Was the little grey man a threat or not? Not, we think.
No, he tried to kill us.
He did.
Did he?
He tried to kill us.
Oh, well,
the crab
yeah.
tried to kill us as well.
The crab tried to. Well, you.
It was, oh no, we tried to help, and then it.
You tried to help, but it all went wrong. We ended up fighting
it,
the crab.
It did go wrong, didn't it?
It lashed out at you. It tried to. It was hard to tell whether it was trying to kill you or whether it was trying to get out, and certainly once it sort of attacked you, until once it got past you it got out of the ship and then flew away, and that was the last you saw of it. The little grey men, kind of the little grey men
crab,
you did kill
fungal,
they attacked you as well.
Oh, and didn't they have no organs or anything like that?
Yes,
they were just no simulacrums.
This when you cut them open.
This is the entirety of the episode, is us just trying to remember last season.
There we go, see.
But that gives you a basic idea of it, and at the end of it.
Oh, by the way, if you haven't listened to season one, then don't bother now. It's literally everything that happened.
At the end of it, you were recruited into Delta Green by a woman called Ms. Green, who tracked you down. You were all given $25,000 and a discharge from the Air Force. You were told no. You went missing.
Well, you hid.
Did you?
Yeah. You hid.
Did you ask us what we were doing in the 6 months?
I am going to come around to ask you what you were doing in your 6 months while you get picked up. And that was sort of where we left you all off, with you all kind of rejoining Delta Green after Ms. Green revealed to you that the survivors of the disaster there were being killed off. So I have a few for our returning agents. I have a couple of things for you, because as you might remember from it, your sanity was not in a good way at the end. Afterwards, so you gain a few things. First of all three of you, each of you gain 1d8 sanity. My apologies. I literally just told everyone to put away all the dice except the d10s, and now I'm telling you to roll a d8.
So
you get 1d8 sanity for saving the base personnel, because you... So essentially, you lose sanity when you feel like you're out of control in a world gone mad. You can regain sanity by shooting those things that have driven you mad in the face and showing that, in fact, you are in control. An example of someone gaining sanity would be Will Smith punching the alien in the face and saying, "Welcome to Earth." He would have...
Did he get? What about slapping Chris Rock in the face?
The world sanity for that.
Yeah,
it's the opposite. Yeah.
That was a breaking. That was him hitting a breaking point. So to remind you, sanity is the thing that protects you from going crazy. When you lose all your sanity, you are no longer a player character. You are the mission. You have either become a catatonic mess or you have become a psychopath that must be stopped at all cases. There's an argument to say some of you are already becoming psychopaths. So you gain 1d8 for doing that. And you then gained 1d4 sanity for joining Delta Green and realizing that there is someone pushing back against the darkness.
I got max on both.
I nearly got max. I got 8 and 3.
Oh, that's good, because you were right near a breaking point when we left you, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, I was keen. I think we all were.
Do we still...
Yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say, do we still keep the incidence of sanity loss without going insane? Or does that get reset?
No, that stays as it is. So that'll be, if you ever lose sanity but don't go through a breaking point from exposure to one of these, you put a tick in them. At a certain point, if you get 3 ticks, you become immune to that and you no longer no longer have to roll against that. You also gain a new bond. You gain each other as a bond.
Yay.
So all three of you can put the other two characters as a bond. The starting score is your charisma divided by 2. So it's not a huge bond, but that's you are bonded for life through your time together.
Well, this is a good opportunity.
Do you round up or down?
3.5.
So yay, this is a good introduction to introduce each other's names. What are your names? So, Ross?
My name is Norman Tully. I was Airman Norman Tully, not anymore, because I'm not part of the Air Force anymore. I have a code name, a new code name, but you'll learn that in-game.
Incredible.
Okay. I am Flick Pifkin.
I've been in more branches of the American military than anyone else, and I've been dishonorably discharged from every single one of them, except for Della Green. I'm working on that.
It's early days, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
And I'm Pete Whiplash Yeager.
Pete Whiplash
Yeager. Whiplash Yeager.
Pete Whiplash Yeager.
A name I'd forgotten, to be honest, but it's quite good. I'm a pilot. I have lung cancer. And I've had many wives and many children, whose names I can't quite recall.
And you once went on a hunt for Saddam's hidden gold.
Yes, I looked for Saddam's hidden gold in Iraq. And that's why I was kicked out of the military.
Incredible.
But I knew too many secrets.
In a brief summation, what have you been doing in the 6 months since the disaster at Platt? Norman, should we start with you?
Yeah, so Norman was left in Platt Air Force Base. He wandered around for weeks trying to find somebody and someone to take him back to home, to Janine. He's still, they're very rocky at the moment. Their bond is
still
one.
Together.
Yeah, they're on one. However, she is definitely having it away with someone else behind his back. He got recruited into Delta Green pretty early on, straight after, before you guys, and went on his first mission for them. He'd been going to the gym, that's why he looks a little bit more buff. And in his first mission, he was captured and he was interrogated. And the only way he could get out was there was some paper on the desk, and he killed everyone in there. But in the process, he got a massive scar down his left hand side face, kind of losing vision in like one eye.
Microsoft pilot now.
Yeah, he shaved all his hair off. He's got muscles. He wears like a black t-shirt, like camo trousers.
Black t-shirt.
And he's got like a beret. Basically, he looks like Sylvester Stallone in Expendables.
Amazing. Is he still played by Rick Moranis?
Yeah. Just like a really buff
Rick
version.
Buff Rick Moranis.
Oh my gosh.
And he's just been, yeah,
he's been going balls deep into spy world.
He does work with he does, as his day job.
Yeah, as his cover.
Is his cover? He's on the team that are currently making Microsoft Flight Simulator 2000, and he now has a bond with the business unit manager, which I looked up in the break. It was Ed Fries.
He's a real person.
Yeah. Because he believes there's something to do with the Microsoft Flight Simulator being a weird, like, there's something not right about this this company and this game. Maybe it's, yeah.
Oh my god.
So he's infiltrating them from the inside.
Jeez. Flake, what's Flake been up to in the 6 months?
Flake, well, he got picked up and recruited. He has been on a few missions with Delta Green, I'd say. Mm-hmm. But he spent his time being on missions and then sort of like busted back to like barracks for insubordination. He's still up to his old tricks. But he thinks he might maybe have found his place, having wandered across so many militaries across his very sort of odd career. He's also kind of got into spirituality a little bit and sort of like looking into the occult because of the experiences on Platt Air Force. Okay. So he's got a bit more introspective and interested in the world. He's starting to look more and more like his namesake, which is sort of like Snake. For those who didn't get this, it's Snake. So from the Plissken. Metal Gear Solid games, Plissken, and also from the John Carpenter movies, because it's always been a favourite of mine. Skip New York.
Nice.
So he has got he wears a bandana, he's got an eye patch, could be real, might not be, who knows. Sort of combat fatigues, black vest, sidearm, and nice. Sort of spends his time sort of looking contemplatively out into the distance at sunsets whilst like rubbing crystals in his hands and do a lot of thinking.
Oh my god, you've taken some points in Unnatural as well.
I have, yes. He's starting to think about the wider world.
He's starting to understand the mysteries of the cosmos.
Yeah.
Which means he has a permanent penalty to his sanity.
Yeah.
Which is good. And speaking of which, what has Pete been up to in this time?
So Pete took the money and he moved to San Francisco and he bought a brownstone. Do they have brownstones in San Francisco?
Yeah, why not?
Sure. Why not? There's a brownstone now in San Francisco. Just one. And he owns it. I just fell into art, really.
Fell into art. Which
he's always wanted to do.
Amazing.
And he's just spent most of the time in his studio just painting. He mainly wears a dressing gown, a brown dressing gown, nothing else. And he's quite emancipated, if you can imagine that. And he just paints large oil paintings, mainly based on his experience of what he's seen in Iraq. And in Iran, and of course at Platt Air Force Base, and he tries to kind of combine them. He's working on a composition at the moment, which involves Saddam, and but with the body of the alien that he saw. And
Saddam.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no
gray Saddam. And as we saw at the end of the last season, that's where he is when he gets picked up. But he's just sort of he's just trying to be, you know, he's trying to get in touch with the. With the world, but not in a very friendly way. Vaguely confrontational, stubbing cigarettes out on people's faces, that sort of thing. But he's just art.
Incredible.
And Buddha and art.
Buddha and art. I love that he's taken a job containing mysterious threats and is painting aliens. That's his coping mechanism. So all three of you, and we'll come back to you in a moment, but I want you to be thinking, all three of you have been kind of back at your regular lives for a little bit when you have received a postcard with a picture of the tower of the 1982 World's Fair in Knoxville, Tennessee. A picture of the Sun Sphere Tower. It is a large metal tower with a big globe at the top of it that's supposed to look like the sun. Sort of stands at the top. It stands over the World's Fair. It's a picture of that, and it has a date and a time on it. We will pick up with the three of you in a bit. But first, we're going to meet some new agents.
Yeah.
Hello.
We got a couple of new friends here. Let's meet our new agents. Drum, do you want to start us off, Drum?
Sure, can do.
Who's our first agent?
So the first agent is his name is Lonnie Oregon. He looks exactly like Keanu Reeves. he generally wears, you know, a sort of standard issue sort of FBI suit. You know, he's kind of, you know, he looks a bit Men in Blacky or just like Keanu Reeves in the film Point Break. So yeah, he's been with the FBI. Well, he's been in the field for about 3 years at this point. He was born. He never knew his dad.
Okay.
I don't know how much detail you want me to go into here. But
what was it? He's an FBI agent.
He's an FBI agent. He got there because his mum, who is one of his, you know,
his bonds.
His bonds.
Yeah.
She was a sort of vaguely famous folk singer called.
Oh my God. I love it. I love
it. He's got a little FBI style in the flip book. It's amazing.
I mean, it's just. Yeah, right, yeah. Called Beatrix Billy Oregon. And, you know, he spent his childhood sort of traveling from festival to festival, not really having, you know, much of an, like, it was very loose, you know, there's a lot of sort of, you know, drugs and free love and stuff. And he hated it. He fucking hated it. He wanted rules in his life and he wanted routine. Nice. And so as soon as he got, you know, sort of old enough, you know, he left, he joined the army.
Nice.
And then he spent a few years there, but he discovered as he was, you know, discovering who he was and the kind of person he was, that you know, you know, the army is you know, it's kind of for people who like being told what to do. And he wasn't, and he found that he actually had a bit, you know, he had something going on in his head. You know, he's quite good at finding stuff out. And so after a couple of years, after a few years in the army, he left and sort of tried to join like local police force and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, did a bit of that. He was going to become a detective, but the guy who was sort of in charge of him was like, no, I think you're destined for the FBI, and recommended him to nice. Join the FBI, which he did, you know, immediately. And he joined, he went into the FBI, got high marks. That is where he met his two other Bonds.
Tell me about the other two Bonds. So you've got your mother is one of them, who's an old country.
He doesn't really see her anymore. She's okay. Maybe losing her mind a little bit and in her home. But you know, obviously, his only parent. So his other Bonds are Murphy Taggart, who is a mentor at Quantico, a gruff ex-Navy SEAL who lost his left arm in combat and took Lonnie under his wing, his non-existent wing, and taught him everything he knew. And then his other Bond is Alexandra Alex Finkelstein, who's his best friend. They met at the academy. They were the two who were getting the highest marks coming up in their class. Nice. And she gave him a real run for his money. He is in love with her, and at one point he tried to kiss her. Amazing. After a thing. Turns out she's not interested in men. She's gay. So he got knocked back. And you know, they decided they would remain best friends because, okay. you know, they get on real well, you know, and, yeah. and all this kind of stuff. It's a bit awkward to begin with, but, yeah. you know, they're sort of fine now. But deep down, secretly, he's still in love with her. There's nothing he can do about
so
it.
He's homophobic now.
He's just that is a turn for this character. Let's not go there.
Anyway, yeah. So that's there is Bond.
That's incredible. And, all right.
And I think let's see. So well, the only other thing I've really got. That's one thing about it is he doesn't know. He has no idea who his dad is. He's asked about his dad, okay. you know, to his mum. She's like, I have no idea. Yeah. I shagged so many people. I fucking wow, know, mate.
Yeah.
That's his. And he's like, just fuck's sake, mum. Like, you know, that's
I'm sensing that I said aliens and you went and watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
My dad is the alien.
I wasn't thinking about that, actually. But
we'll see. Let's jump over. Let's meet his partner.
Yeah.
Cole, who else have we got?
All right, so we've got a 56-year-old man.
Yeah.
All right, so he's quite late in his FBI career. He's been in the FBI for 30 years, since he was 26 years old. So he's quite an older agent. His name is Adam Green. Now, I picked this name because I rode past a street that was like something Green Street, and I thought, oh, Green's a good last name.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot that we were playing Delta Green and that there's a whole thing about this agency called Delta Green. So just forget that. But his name is Adam Green, and as Dan said to me earlier, it's not like Skywalker. So it's fine. He's like 6'1". He's got sort of graying hair, but he's got a full head of hair still. He kind of looks like Josh Brolin.
Ooh,
do you know what I mean? Right. Like that kind of like older man. He's still kind of like kind of rough and ready, but he's definitely older than people. We never see him out of his suit. Him out of his suit. Even at home, he wakes up in the morning, he puts on his suit. He lives for the FBI. Pretty much wears it all the time. Went to Brown Uni in Rhode Island. Studied criminology and accounting. He was born in Brooklyn, but not Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn, Michigan, which is a very small town. So when people ask him where he's from, he always says Chicago.
Nice.
Right?
That's nice.
Because if he says Brooklyn, people are like, oh, Brooklyn! And he's like, no. right? His Bonds, he's got Francesca Green, who is his daughter. She's 26 years old. She's living her own life now, but he gets along with her really well. There was a period in his life where he didn't really get on with her, but you know, they get on really well now. He's got his grandfather. His grandfather is 88 years old.
My God.
He's called Gramps. We call him Grandpa Joe sometimes, but his real name is Simon. We don't know why we call him Joe. Right, just everybody does. Nobody incredible. Questions it. It's weird. Bill Thorpe is his other Bond. And Bill Thorpe was his ex-wife's ex-husband. Right. When they got married and had a child, she'd already been married once, and they bonded after he became an ex, because they both found they had a lot in common. So they started hanging out, and now they phone each other once a week and have a nice conversation, and sometimes they go on little vacations. So yeah, he started off back in the day. He was like a hotshot agent. Okay, he was like a proper hotshot agent. They used to call him the solver, because he would solve any case for about 10 years. He just solved cases. He was just like bam, 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 and he got so cocky with it. So now, after that, so there was a big incident that happened that maybe we'll go into in roleplay, that he's slowed down. And he doesn't get the cases he wants because he slows down as an agent, and he's not as quick as he used to be. Like, he doesn't get all the cases that he wants. He gets other ones, and he's seen some strange stuff, man. Whoa. Some strange stuff since he's been going on these weird old cases in the FBI.
Seen some things.
So there we go.
Beautiful.
Agent Green,
Oregon.
Should we tell him about so we've worked together once before.
We have worked together once before.
You're going to get plenty of chances to introduce yourself. So let's hang on to a little bit of that. Let me tell you about your case, because we're going to pick up with Agent Oregon and Agent Green.
Okay.
As you're on your way, you've been assigned the case of Billy Ray Spivey. Billy Ray Spivey is a kid from Tennessee. He's believed to have killed his father, and then gone on the run, where he has robbed several gas stations, killing at least one other person on the way. In the course of this, he's crossed state lines from Tennessee through Alabama and then into Georgia. Once he crossed state lines, it became a federal matter. The two of you have been assigned to bring him in. You are assigned to the Tennessee, to the Knoxville field office, so you would effectively been bringing him back to Tennessee once you've picked him up. We are joining you currently on your way to join a roadblock that has been set up by the Georgia state troopers, where they are they're going to try and intercept him. And you're on your way there to meet up with it. He's been spotted driving in this direction in an empty section of farmland. And you're on your way to meet up with them there, the two of you.
Okay. So he killed his dad.
He killed his dad.
And then
he's believed to have killed at least one other person while on the run. And you've been sent to basically... It should be a simple pickup. This is what this is. You know, you've got to be involved because it's a...
How old is he, the kid?
He's 18 years old. You've got to be involved because it's now a federal matter, but the stadies should be able to handle this. They should be able to pick him up, and then you've got to take him in. It's a simple gig.
Okay, cool.
So we pick up... We see a car. We see a car driving through the... black car driving through the night. Look across, and we see the... remind me, what the two of you look like sat in this car?
Josh Brolin,
dressed as...
Keanu Reeves.
And Keanu Reeves.
Young Keanu Reeves when he was a young hotshot FBI agent.
And Josh Brolin when he's like now.
Yeah, Josh Brolin now. Yeah. Amazing. Who's driving?
I think Josh. Adam.
Adam is driving.
I think Adam's probably driving.
Adam is driving.
Adam driving.
We listen
Adam's
to
driving.
Adam's driving.
Adam driving. The radio, the local radio crackles as you drive through the night.
Coming up later tonight, we got Big Man Stu back on the airwaves with another Tales of the Unknown. He's got a fella on this week, says he was kidnapped by a little green man. Well, 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 is always little green man with these folk? Tell me, T-Bone, where do I get me a little green woman? You'll never guess where he's from. I bet I can. Is it from Grover County? It's from Grover County. You tell me, Gooch, why is it when aliens come to Earth, they never land in a real city like Atlanta? It's always some hillbilly town in the middle of nowhere. What, do they have to milk or something? Hey, we don't want to offend the good people of Groverville. That's okay, Gooch. Cows don't listen to radio. You're listening to T-Bone and the Gooch on 195 Rock FM. Here's Prince.
Prince 1999 blasts out of the radio. We pull back and the title card comes up January 6th, 1999, somewhere in Georgia. Nice. As we see the car driving through this farmland, up ahead of you, you see flashing lights and you see a police cruiser, pulled up across the road. You're in a section where there are deep irrigation ditches alongside either part of the road. The steady car is pulled up across kind of half of the road, blocking half of it. And you can see that there are two state troopers leaning against it. They appear to be kind of, one of them has some Tupperware in his hand, and he's kind of and is just eating from it. The other one sees you approaching and is just waves you down. As you do it, would you want to have a little chat as you're pulling
yeah,
up? Let's have a little
up, yeah.
little bants.
Yeah. Yeah. Goddamn, another shit detail, Green. How the hell do we end up on these things?
Hey, listen, you just gotta, you know, bide your time, and we'll be on the cases that we want to be on all the time.
This is ridiculous. Some punk kid killed his dad. The hell.
We got a simple.
I didn't get into the FBI for this.
Hey, just. Call your jets, hot shot. Let's get the kid, stick him in the back, and we'll take him on home, and everything will be fine.
It's early working out that accent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's gonna go around all the United States of America.
Is he like Abe Lincoln?
4 score and 10 minutes ago.
So you.
All right, Pops, come on.
They flag. Wow. They kind of one of them flags you down and kind of gestures for you to pull up on the other side of the road, so that the two cars will have completely blocked the road.
Okay.
And then walks over and waits for you to come out of the car.
All right, let's get the shit over with.
Yeah, we exit the car.
There's a couple of state troopers there. One man's a man in his 30s with big thick moustache. Another one a little longer with sort of scrappy blonde hair. He approaches and says, "Agents, they said you'd be coming here. I'm Trooper Cody. This is Trooper Williams. We got radio in, said Spivey is driving a Chevy pickup. He was spotted passing. He was shot by the Panacea Farm a little way down from here. Shouldn't be too much longer before he gets here."
"Okay, we'll take it from here."
"All right, you are. Hey, this guy dangerous?"
"He's just some punk kid. Don't worry about it."
"Well, don't worry. We'll handle him. We pull over some crazy kids. It's always someone drunk or drugs or something."
"A lot of drugs around here."
"Wow. Lot of land for things to get lost in around here."
"Mm-hmm.
Not like it used to be." And at that, you see you see some lights in the distance, and you see a car approaching from down the road towards you. And it gets closer and closer, and you can kind of, it's hard to make out because of the lights, but you reckon it's probably a pickup truck. Cody looks at you and says, "Looks like it's showtime."
"Yeah, that's him, huh?"
He pulls his sidearm from his holster. Williams does likewise, and they just kind of level their pistols.
"We do the same, right?"
"Yep.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah." The truck keeps coming. One of the troopers starts. Cody starts motioning for it to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Both cars are completely blocking it. The truck doesn't slow down. The truck there, you hear the sound of the engine rev, and the truck speed up as it starts barreling down the highway towards you.
"We got a runner. Hell. Get out the way. We got a runner."
What do you want to do?
We got to take out the wheels. I'm going to try and shoot one of the wheels.
You try and shoot at the wheels. All right. Yeah. It's our first roll. I want a firearms check, Drummond. Okay. So I want you to roll a D100. You want to get under your firearm score.
Okay.
As you pull your sidearm and take a shot at the wheels.
What is... Oh, that's naught. Is that a naught? So what is that?
Six.
60?
Which ones are tens and which ones are your hundreds? So the double one is your tens and your units. Double one is your tens.
Uh-huh.
So if that's a zero,
it's a
Yeah, it is.
So that's zero, and the other one is the six. Other one's six. That's a six. So that's
six.
A six under your what's your firearms?
70.
Six under 70. Yeah. Crack yeah. shot.
Sweet.
The others open fire as well. Immediately. Keanu Reeves immediately just blasts the tire out of the truck.
Lonnie Oregon always gets his man.
The truck skids out of control and and slides off the road past you both and just crashes into the irrigation ditch and just thuds there, the lights still on, the engine still revving. It just smashes into the thing and just sits there, engine running. Williams nods to you and goes, great shot!
Yeah, well...
I hope there's something left.
Hey, me
Oregon,
too.
Oregon, Oregon, nice shot, but you could have waited. You acted a bit fast there, Oregon.
He was coming right at us.
You acted a bit fast.
Ah, so
I told you,
Pops.
You've got to slow it on down.
God damn it, Pops. He's look, I'm going to go like take a look. You coming with me or what?
Come on. Let's go down there and see what's going on.
You start approaching. Williams is already down, has already climbed down into the ditch and is at the door with his gun raised. He's pointing it through the window. He's like police! Out of the car. Got hands it. On your head.
Damn it, this kid's gonna get himself killed.
What do you got?
A moment later, the door flies off its hinges and knocks Williams flying backwards out of the ditch and sprawling
holy
across
shit.
The road. He crashed. He rolls across the floor. The door slides across, sending sparks everywhere. And a second later, an 18-year-old boy... 19-year-old young man with just kind of barest bit of beard around his face climbs out from the passenger side door. He has just glass embedded in his forehead where his head's hit the windshield and blood running down his head and just a wild-eyed look in his face. He looks at you all and just screams,
get down on the ground!
Starts trying to run up the slope towards all of you. We're going to go into initiative.
Oh my god.
Right away. So in this game,
initiative.
We don't roll for initiative in this. Initiative goes in order of your dex score. So what is your dexterity score? Not the times five. What is your overall dex score?
16.
A 16.
My dex is 9.
Amazing.
He's an older man, so, you know, kind of tracks.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So the first person to react to any of this is Lonnie Oregon again. You see this guy just running up the slope towards all of you, and you're the first one to react. What do you want to do?
I mean, I want to shout at him.
You want
first
to shout at
all.
Him? All right.
I don't know if that's any use or not.
Yeah. See, in this game, in Delta Green, you get one action per turn.
Okay.
So all that's
right.
all.
I mean, the first thing he's
going to
do is he's going to say, Billy Ray Speedy. Put your hands where we can see them and desist from running at us. I am Lonnie. I am Agent Oregon of the FBI. Stand down.
You yell at him. All right. Spivey's go. Spivey.
Oh, Spivey, sorry.
Spivey, Spivey uses his action to climb up out of the ditch and run straight up to the first person, which is Trooper Cody, who's just raising his gun. The next person is Cody himself. Cody, seeing this boy coming straight at him, tries to shoot him. That is a... Is that a 6 or a 9?
No, that's a 93, yeah.
That's a 93. It's a 6. 63. It doesn't matter. They're both misses. he fires his gun, the shot, but it's just the speed of the guy and the ferocity of it just takes him, and the shot goes completely wide, and Spivey closes the distance with him, which takes us to Agent Green.
All right, he's going to shoot him as well.
All right, give me a firearms roll.
Firearms roll. Can I shout and then fire?
Yeah, you can do both.
Down on the ground, this is the FBI!
You shout down on the ground while shooting him.
Yes. Well, I shout it and then he keeps moving into the other
chamber. Gotcha.
All right, so my firearms is...
Typical of me.
Yeah, 50...
Justice.
That is 18.
At 18 total.
18 total. So what do I do?
So you want to get under your firearms score.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So, yeah.
An 18 is 18 is a hit. So you hit him with a bullet. Roll some damage. So whatever.
D10.
Roll
baby.
A D10 for the damage.
Here we go. D10. It's six.
6 points of damage. The bullet hits him. Hits the kid square in the chest. He keeps coming.
Of course he does.
We're going back around top of the round. Lonnie Oregon, you shouted. This kid did nothing.
Yeah, he hasn't stood down, has he? So he's going to aim for his like feet.
Testicles.
I guess his legs. He wants to get him in the legs. He wants to stop him from moving forward without killing him.
Gotcha. Okay. The knee. Yeah. Roll firearms. Crack shot.
Okay.
I was checking the chest.
That is yes. 38, which is under...
A 38, which is under
70.
Fantastic. One thing to remember, if you ever get a double number, I just want you to tell... That's an important one to know. So it's okay. If you get a... You know,
like a 33
or... 66, anything like that, because that's either a crit or a fumble, depending on whether... If you get if you get a double number under your score, it's a crit. If you get a double number over your score, it's a fumble.
Okay. Gotcha.
One is always a crit, 100 is always a fumble.
That's cool.
It's fun.
Yeah, I like that.
That's nice, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you hit him. Roll some damage.
I need to look D10. At my. Oh, it's a D10, isn't it?
D10.
Yeah, we've got the same weapon.
Your standard issue, you guys. It's only when we get to the existing agents they have weird guns.
it's this one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there we go. Whoop. That's a 7.
That's a 7. So the Spivey has now taken a total of 13 points of damage. It hits him again. Another shot hits him in the leg. He looks slightly, but he keeps moving. His next action. He's his round. 33. It's a crit. He grabs a hold of Cody's gun. Takes Cody's gun from his hand and bends it in half.
Jesus. Oh my god.
Yeah. I want both of you to roll sanity. So you want to roll a D100. I want you want to see if you get under your sanity.
We're rolling both of them again. They're both the,
it's the D100 again. That's the
shoot. 74.
That's going to be a fail.
Yeah, that is a fail. Okay.
35.
You make it. So Oregon, you lose 1 point of sanity. So your max stays it is, but you've just from just seeing something fucking impossible.
Yeah, your max stays at 45.
Oh, that's the max. So where do I put it?
On the next.
Just
column.
On the current. Just there.
So it'll be 40.
Yeah. Oh, that was breaking point. Right, okay. Mm. So yeah, so I've got 44. Right, got it.
Cody turns and runs. Like as this happened, Cody just screams and runs and just backs away. Agent Green.
All right, I'm going to fire again.
Take another shot.
Take the shot. Yeah, 19, that's another hit.
Another D10 of damage.
Here we go. 6 points of damage.
Another 6 points. Another slug in the chest. The boy staggers. Spivey staggers where he is, but then turns his gaze on the two of you. Agent Oregon.
I still don't want to kill him.
Okay. He's looking hurt. Like he is. Like the bullets are having an effect. But,
okay.
You want to go for?
I mean, so
last time he shot him twice.
I don't know. Can I like run and try and tackle him to the ground?
You can run and try and tackle him to the ground.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah. Pops, hold your fire, and I'm gonna run and try and
give me an unarmed combat check.
An unarmed combat check. All right.
Try and knock him to the ground.
Oh, son of a bitch!
What happens?
My unarmed combat is 80, and I've got 82.
Oh,
son god! Of a bitch. He's so
Keanu
good,
Reeves, man.
You hit him full. You hit him full on, and it's like hitting. It's like hitting a quarter. It's quarterback, the big guy.
Yeah.
It's like hitting a pro footballer, like a fucking. So, like this kid should
solid.
Not be this strong.
Right.
You hit him and you just almost feel your shoulder go from it and he just throws you aside and just rolls you across to the floor. His next move, he moves over and I'm going to roll strength for him. Yeah, it's a success. Yep. He picks Oregon up over his head, just with two hands, just lifts the, just like he's lifting a nothing. He lifts him right up above his head and turns to throw him into the ditch. We come around to Green. It's your
Green
go.
Shoots again. Oh, what? It's over.
It's over. Oh. You miss.
Oh, no. Please don't get me.
Yes, 55. I'm over.
55. The 55, you're over, and that's a critical fail.
Oh, no. It's only 5 points over.
No, no. It's a double. No. So 55. So it's a double number.
It's a double number. It's a critical. It's yeah.
It's a crit fail.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
Oregon's dead, baby.
You shoot your partner.
Oh,
roll damage.
Jesus.
1 point of damage.
One point of damage.
I'm going to shoot my partner.
The bullet grazed.
God's sake, pups, hold your fire.
Oh, my God.
Ow.
Okay, we're on.
Put him down. Put him
this
down.
This is not going well.
Oregon, it's your go. You are held aloft. You still have your gun in your hand, but
still
you are.
Have my gun. But I,
headshot, man. Fucking right next to
you. Just.
Yeah.
Tried everything else. This guy's holding you, but you've lost sanity.
He's going to bane you in a minute.
Do you know what? You're right. I don't want to get my back broken. I'm going to try and shoot him in the head.
Okay, take a shot. Take the shot.
He fumbles, though. Shoots himself in the balls.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Son of a bitch. 83.
Oh, God.
Shoots
himself
in the head.
If you both die in your own backstory, that'd be amazing.
Just an unrelated incident.
And in recent news, two FBI agents were found dead by the side of the road.
They covered themselves, apparently. Yeah.
Shut moving on. In the head.
Shot each other and then themselves.
Quick, turn that radio off.
It's not a crit, fortunately. So, you're trying to get the shot and you just can't. The gun goes off, but it just doesn't hit him. And then he throws you into the ditch with just tremendous force, just hurls you into this ditch. You crash into the ground. You take 2 more points of damage as thump into the ground. he turns around. Agent Green, what you got?
Shoot him again.
You got a few more clips in it.
It's a 20. It's a double as well.
22.
20. Sorry. I got a zero.
Okay.
20 points.
20. You hit him. Roll some damage. Can this do it?
Six.
As he turns around, you hit him full in the chest, and he just flies backwards off his feet, loses his footing, and tumbles backwards into the ditch, and just
on
crashes,
top of me.
Unmoving next to Agent Oregon. You kind of lie there, having put 4 bullets in this kid.
Yeah.
Looking around, you can see one of the state trooper who was thrown across the floor, kind of rolling in pain. Oregon, you lie there in the ditch next to the body. You look over at this kid who's been shot, and you see that he's still breathing.
The hell?
Meanwhile, cut to a few days later at the...
I thought you were going to say earlier.
at the site of the World's Fair. Knoxville, Tennessee was the site of the 1982 World's Fair, and a lot of that is still there. It's one of the fine tourist attractions you can go to if you're ever in the fine city of Knoxville. One of the main parts of it is the Sun Sphere Tower, which is a big sun-shaped globe on top of a spire. It is early January 1999. It is cold. There is frost in the air. There's frost around. You can see your breath. You're standing next to the three of you are standing next to a lake, having answered various calls to arrive there. There is a sort of man-made lake that normally would be a fountain. The fountain is shut off for the winter, and you can see patches of ice around the edges of the lake that have formed on it. It is a cold day. The three of you, who is the last to arrive?
Don't know.
Me?
Yeah. All right, there we go. So, Norman, you come walking up. Pete and Flake are already standing there. This is the first time you've seen each other in a little while. You saw each other when you were recruited. Now you've done some individual missions, but this is the first time you've all been back together since then. Let's pick it up. What do you say as you approach them?
Jaeger. Aren't you cold in that dressing gown? It's a really cold day.
I know, I have nothing else. I have no other clothes. God, it's called away quite quickly. God.
What's up, pussies?
Holy shit.
Look at this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Is that you, Norman?
Yeah, it's me.
Ooh. What happened to your hair?
I shaved it off. I'm a new man.
Fuck, you got a hinge. Look at you.
You must be fucking freezing, man. Look at you.
You're not wearing any shirt.
You can
He's
see
not wearing
nipples.
Anything but a dressing gown. I can see both your nipples.
I know, I'm freaking
cold. Nipples.
It's good to see you guys.
It's good to see you, too.
Did you get a postcard, too, I assume?
Yeah, meet us at this lake kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally a lake, yeah.
Yeah. Frozen.
Is it?
Yeah, it's cold.
It's cold.
Is it frozen? It's not
filled
to the sea.
The lake's not frozen, though. Look at it. It's there. It's water.
Yeah, frozen.
What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
I can't.
You shaved too close to your brain.
My eye.
I see you haven't changed, Yeager.
It's kind of cloudy on my left side of my eye, so it kind of looks like it's frozen.
Why, what happened to your eye?
Oh, that's a story for another time.
Well, why not now?
Well, what the fuck happened to your eye? What are
Come
you talking
on.
About? Story for another time. I'm asking you.
I was doing a mission for Delta Fucking. Green and I got caught. Caught.
You got hit by a crow.
And, one of them tried to stab me, so he cut along my face, and then I grabbed some paper and I slit his throat.
Wow, I feel like the odd man out here.
It's
Bunch
okay.
of fucking myopics. You can give him one of your eye patches, Flake.
Hey. No. It's custom made, man.
Yeah, as a you hear footsteps, because you've all got, if I remember from the last one, all three of you have crazy high alertness.
Yep, 80.
Yeah.
80 now.
Yeah.
You've gained some skills since then. You become aware.
60.
You become aware that someone is approaching. Flake, first of all, with his sight beyond sight.
Wait.
As you look, a woman with short blonde hair,
wearing a
thick overcoat and
wearing
a scarf,
thick overcoat and a scarf.
Who's holding a takeaway coffee?
Holding a gun.
Coffee sounds like guns. Coffee smells like a gun.
Yeah, I love the smell of guns in the morning.
Is approaching, and you recognize all of you recognize Ms. Green, the woman who recruited you to Delta Green, approaching with her coffee. She waits until she is close to you, and then just sort of stands looking out across the lake. Says, "Good afternoon, gentlemen."
Hello, Ms. Green.
Hi, Ms. Green.
You look very dashing this morning.
You look like shit, Norman.
Louis.
Home is green.
I take it you got the implication of the invitation today.
Is that another name for postcard? Because I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pifkin. That is a...
Is it a mission in the World's Fair?
Not quite in the World's Fair, no. Oh. It's one of the finest spots in Knoxville. It's very highly rated on TripAdvisor. I thought I'd come and see it.
I've seen pictures. It looks really cool.
What the fuck is TripAdvisor?
It's 1999 TripAdvisor, probably a thing. I don't actually know.
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
you internet junkie.
Checks your butt.
Come on, you were alive then, Dan. You know
it's a secret project within Delta Green. That's why the logo is green. You're here because we have a mission for you. One that possibly connects to your particular shared experience.
Pokemon.
All three of them got really into Pokemon.
Yeah, it was a really quiet base.
Have you followed the... did you follow the news at all and see anything about the case of a young man named Billy Ray Spivey?
Yeah, two FBI agents got murdered.
Yeah, I heard. It was an old one and a young one. And the old one kind of shot the young one in a sort of dazzling display of inefficiency. And then they shot him in cold blood.
It was on America's Dumbest Cops. This only happened a week ago. Spivey is a resident of a town called Groverville. Grover County, here in Tennessee. About a week ago, something strange happened with Spivey. He disappeared. When he reappeared, he was acting strangely. Shortly after that, he killed his father, and then fled the town. Along the way, he killed several. He killed at least one gas station attendant in a manner that was unusual. We have a friendly here in Knoxville within the FBI station office. Special Agent James Derringer. He's the head of that office. When he saw the details of it, when they came through, especially after what happened with Spivey's arrest, he passed the details on to me. And he's agreed to take some agents on board for the case and allow Delta Green to take care of it.
We gotta work with the FBI?
You'll be working as part of the FBI. As your cover, you will be introduced as members of the FBI from the Central Bureau. Mm-hmm. You'll be joining onto the case. You are to attend a briefing here in Knoxville at the FBI headquarters. You will attain the details of the Spivey case, and then you will travel to Groverville, and you will find out what happened to Billy Ray Spivey and what is going on in that town. You may have seen, if you watch any of the late night talk shows or listen to Shock Jock Radio, you may have seen some of the jokes about Groverville. It is a laughingstock of the United States. It is supposedly a place where cattle disappear, where people claim to have been abducted. It is the...
Is that where Grover the Muppet comes from?
That was one of the jokes on the...
God, I hate that
current
guy
late show is.
His weird pink nose, but he sort of looked like a shit cookie monster, but he's just a bit rubbish.
We all hate Grover.
Yeah.
But that's not the point.
Almost as much as I hate gas station attendants. Not related.
It's possible. A lot of the time, these stories are just nonsense, but when there's so many of them in one place... It's just a chance there might be more to it. I want the three of you to join this investigation and look into it. Find out what is going on, and if necessary, contain it or stop it. There is one more thing. The two FBI agents who apprehended Spivey at the time, they witnessed some unusual things during the course of that, and have, despite all of this, and some injuries to one of them, returned to duty relatively quickly. Looking at their records, both of their records are exemplary, and they show a curiosity that is interesting to Delta Green. You are to join the two of them on this investigation. You will befriend them, if needs be, work with them, and while you are with them, you will assess them. You will assess their capabilities and whether they could be trusted. And it will be up to the three of you to decide if these two agents are suitable recruits for Delta Green or are a loose end that needs to be tied up. And that's where we'll leave it for tonight.
Probably.
Enjoy that episode? Well, there's a whole lot more to listen to. Go to patreon.com/dangerclubpodcast, and for just £5 a month, you can get access to the Danger Club Patreon feed and get a brand new episode every 2 weeks. Find out where this story is going and get access to the entire archive of Patreon shows playing different role-playing games. Nearly 200 podcast episodes in there for you to enjoy. patreon.com/dangerclubpodcast, or just click the link in the show notes below. Enjoy, everybody.